Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And Don, welcome back to our special holiday show of Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, December 27th, 2007. How's your week going, my friend?
Going great, Marty. Had a wonderful Christmas. Christmases are so exciting now because our kids, they're 3 and a half, so it's great just
right.
Watching them enjoying Christmas and the countdown, the days leading up to it. So, yeah, it was a very good time. My wife and I had a great time, and
Working
with family and in-laws and everything. And, everything went well. We're happy.
That's great, yeah. I can't wait for that magic age of 3 years old, you know. And I guess next year it's going to be a lot of fun for you as well, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just, you know,
even last year they enjoyed it a little bit a little over two. They really started understanding Christmas and getting gifts. So
right.
Last year was the first year, and then it, you know, was even better this year.
Right, right. And the whole concept of Santa Claus and all that other stuff, you know, it's.
Oh, yeah, we videotaped them coming down the steps because we leave a certain amount of gifts.
Did you really?
That initial excitement, that's kind of a tradition with my family. We have some wrapped, we leave some open so they can start playing with some toys right away.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And we left a little bit of a partially eaten cookie on a tray with the empty glass of milk.
Did you really?
That's the tradition, yeah.
Well, these are things I'm learning from you, all the things that we have to do, you know, when our baby is getting at that age, you know, 3-4 years old, you know, so we still have a couple more years left.
Yeah, you got to get that reindeer food.
There you go, you know, so prepare for all that stuff. I'll, you know, hit you for advice when it comes time for that.
No problem.
You know? But our last show, Don, we got to meet with David Handler of Success Handler. And David has spent 15 years as a sports television producer, working with ABC Sports, ESPN, and others. He also founded a travel company that became the official travel service of Disney's Worldwide of Sports Complex in Orlando, and also the University of Notre Dame. In 1998, he joined an international franchise company with 1,000 locations. He served as a senior vice president in charge of marketing for their 9 brands. And 4 years ago, as I mentioned, he started Success Handler, which is a professional business coaching firm helping leaders discover their desires and also achieve their goal. I thought it was appropriate that we had David on as, you know, kind of like one of the last shows of the year, you know, because
Right. Everyone's
getting ready to do their New Year's resolutions and things like that, you know, and you and I are planning for the new year, you know, as far as the growth of the show and things like that.
Right.
What were your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, well, obviously he really seems to enjoy what he's doing. I was very
Right. Impressed
with his background. You just mentioned a few things that he's done. I mean, it's just incredible. I liked how he mentioned even the most successful business people, Marty, need coaching. Like I think staying in sports, Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
You would think, you know, why does he need someone to coach him?
But, exactly. It's so true.
Yeah. You need someone on top of you. There's always room to improve, get better.
Right.
And, of course, he's had a big, sports background.
He has.
Just a wealth of knowledge and information. And I think you're right about having him on towards the end of the show.
It
reminds all business owners, I'm doing it myself with my financing business, you got to start having goals and just writing down things you want to get done for next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so important. There's a couple of interesting things. I took down some notes from last week. We asked David, we said, what advice would you give an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? And it's been there's been a lot of common answers on the show, but he mentioned hire a franchise attorney, which you and I have spoken about in the past. You know, that's been a common theme. He also mentioned talk to existing and previous franchisees for perspective to get their get a true financial picture. Work. This was an interesting one. I think you like this one as well. Work in the business for a time to see if you want to do that every day. I think that's something that we've mentioned on the show, but I don't think we've mentioned it enough. You know, I know you like that one. You and I mentioned, was it Aaron's Sales and Lease, when we had those guys on the show.
Oh, yeah, they had a great training program. I was really impressed with how they make someone, and it's just not a few days. I think they have someone work there for several weeks.
If I remember correctly, I think the number that Todd Evans gave us was 3 weeks.
Right.
You know, and I think 3 weeks can give you a pretty good picture, a pretty good indication if you're going to be a match for that franchise.
I think it's worth the time and investment in that, because you're investing in a franchise. I mean, this can be for for years, a long time, 10, 20 or more years.
Absolutely.
And, you know, why not invest a few weeks to really see if you can enjoy it and like it? Because what does everything always come back to, Marty? You got to have passion and really enjoy what you're doing. If you're just assuming that it's going to go this way and that way, and you buy the franchise, get started, you're in it, and you're not happy after a few months.
Absolutely.
That situation.
So it's been one of the big ones for me, Don. You know, as you and I, as we've done this show for over a year now, I mean, the many things that we learned, and that's one piece of advice that I'm going to recommend to prospective franchisees as well. See if you can work in the business for 2 or 3 weeks, and I think that's definitely going to give a good indication if there's a match there. Because, you and I have compared it to something as big as a marriage. You mentioned the number 10-year commitment. I mean, that's a long time. Wouldn't you want to, get to work in the business and actually see what it's all about instead of kind of taking a franchisee's word for it? I mean, again, you have that list in the UFOC of current and former franchisees. But you know what? I would still rather get a true picture of what's going on in a franchise. So.
Right.
Absolutely. So I thought that was a really good piece of advice. Again, we have mentioned it on the show before, but I don't think we've mentioned it enough, so I'm going to kind of emphasize that a lot in 2008 as well.
Right. You can never do enough due diligence. Talk to as many people as
absolutely.
Not franchisees, but some of the top people at the franchise org. Get to know them and really get a good feel for how everything is, the mood of the franchise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He also mentioned, I said, be clear in your intention. Do you want to be an owner, an operator of one location, or do you want to be like a multi-unit developer? We kind of spoke a little bit about like assessment last week as well, so I thought that was a good point.
Right.
Be clear on the territorial issue. Will it be like McDonald's, one on every corner? It's kind of like Subway now. You see Subway practically on every corner that you go to. What are the strengths of the franchisor? From a market presence, product viewpoint, how are they developing new products and helping franchisees introduce them? Make sure you're financially sound. I mean, that's been a common theme on the show as well. It says all those 18 months of living expenses requirements in the UFOC tend to underestimate the amount of time it takes to break even, So I thought that was another great piece of advice. There was something he didn't get to cover on the show. We just didn't have enough time, as always. What changes have you seen in franchising over the last decade? And David actually sent this to me. He said, we're in the golden age of franchising right now. Many more opportunities, good for those looking, harder on franchisers, greater access to information for those seeking their next career. He used websites, internet websites, franchiseinterviews.com, bison.com, franchisegator.com. You have much better communication today, training, support, as technology makes this easier. You have younger franchisees being attracted to the industry today. I thought that was kind of interesting.
We saw that when we had interviewed WSI.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was very interesting that they were going after the younger entrepreneur.
More computer savvy, started out using computers at a very young age.
Absolutely. It made a lot of sense, So... what else did he mention? Business brokers now play a major role in helping clients decide which brand. And we've had, we've had several franchise brokers on the show. I think we had about 2 or 3 last year, if I remember correctly. International growth, you have a lot of franchises growing in Russia and China. Changes in the FTC franchise rule, that's happening in 2008. We're going to have like a franchise attorney who's up on this new change in the UFOC.
Yeah,
that's going
be
on.
Important, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember who mentioned it. I think it was, Jim Cohen might have mentioned it when we had him as a guest on the show, Franchise Perfection. And
yeah, I mean, these are interesting notes that David sent.
Absolutely, you know.
Franchising, he's right about that. Look how much growth, that's why our show has had so much growth and had so many guests on. There's just so much information to let people know about with so much going on in the franchise industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll have them back at the end of next year, for when it comes time to plan for 2009. So here's something interesting, Don. Franchise Handbook has listings of all the different franchises in the United States and Canada. But, one thing that a lot of people don't know is all the different categories you have to choose from. When I first got involved in franchising back in, I think it was 1998, you know, I always had this perception that a franchise was like a food franchise, like McDonald's or Burger King or Pizza Hut.
Right.
And when I went to my first franchise show, I think we've mentioned this in the past, I went to the Jacob Javits Center, which I'm sure you've been to in the past. I mean, there's all types of franchises there. I mean, there was shoe repair franchises, there was printing franchises. I mean, you name it, they had it. So I wanted to kind of just go over this list quickly just to let our listeners know that, you know, they have a lot of choices. There's accounting tax services franchises. There's advertising and direct mail franchises. You have art supplies and frames also as a category in franchising. You have automobile products and services. You have beauty salons. You have supplies, beauty, salon cosmetics, tanning, another category. You have books and publications. We have business aids and services. Children's products, education services. We've seen a lot of growth there, haven't we, in that particular...
Yeah, definitely. Across the board, a big, high-growth industry right now.
Absolutely. You have clothing. You have shoes. You have accessories. Computer sales and services. You have concrete services. Construction and remodeling. Bath, closet, handyman services. Dating services. Dry cleaning and laundries. Educational...
Yeah, look how much... You've mentioned so far, and we're just on the ease.
Yeah, exactly. You can see it's a long list. You know, and I guess the theme is that, you know, we've had a lot of guests on the show last year, but, you know, there's been a lot of industries that we haven't even had on the show yet, you know. So, you know, I think one of the goals for 2008 is to kind of have someone from every industry at some point anyway, you know. And, again, we've had some of them. But, you know, not all of them.
Right.
Educational products, embroidery products, employment personnel services, energy products and services, environmental products and services. That's for some reason it's on there twice. Financial services, florist, food. Oh, I'm just going to say food because as far as food goes, there's a lot of subcategories.
Right. There's about 8 categories, and those are broken down to about another 10.
That's correct, yeah. I think you have like your pizza, your Mexican.
Ice cream.
I mean, it's really incredible. You have, what else, gift items, greeting cards, health nutrition services, home furnishing repair, home inspection services. We had Cal Patel of, was it First Inspection Services?
Yeah.
About a month ago. Insurance, internet services. Again, we had WSI, as you were mentioning, a couple minutes back. Lawn and garden supplies, legal document preparation, locksmiths. We had Pop Lock on the show last year. Maid services, maintenance, cleaning, medical billing, motels, hotels, moving services, optical centers, party goods, personalized products and services, pet centers, photo, reprinting and copying services, real estate, recreation and entertainment, recycling services, if you can imagine. I guess you have, what is that, 1-800... Got junk or something like that, or let's see, retailing. You have a lot of subsections. Security systems, senior care. There's been a lot of growth in senior care over the last, I would say, 10 years.
Right.
Shipping, sign products, sports, telecommunications, tools, travel, vending, video and audio products, and water conditioning treatment. So. There you go. I mean, that's quite an extensive list, you know, depending on what source you're actually looking at. But it's nice to know for our listeners that, you know, there's a lot of options to choose from, and this is going to take a while as far as the whole search goes.
Right. And then speaking to a franchise consultant, I mean, there's so many people thinking and considering a franchise. They're going online or buying the franchise handbook. And,
right.
They just might not realize that there's possibly a better match than what you were thinking about. And that's what's nice about franchising now. There's so many different industries to get involved in.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've never thought of.
I would agree with that. You know, I mean, you know, when we had Carol Mercurio, she's with Matchpoint now, which is a franchise consultant. You know, I was always impressed with, you know, when we've had her on the show, how she would mention that so many people really would get into the wrong franchise if they didn't seek a franchise consultant. You know, in many of her cases, I don't think...
Right.
A prospective franchisee's first choice has ever gone forward with that. You know, Carol has been able to not persuade them, but present them with a better match, you know, because you get so many people saying, you know what, I want to buy a Dunkin' Donuts. I'm drinking Dunkin' Donuts coffee right now, and I love the coffee.
Right.
But, you know, why would I want to buy a franchise, though? I mean, you know, I mean, it's a pretty big commitment. It says financially, I don't think I would enjoy, you know, working behind the counter,
right,
you know, in a Dunkin' Donuts. So it's
yeah, you really got to think across
think
the
through.
Board, everything involved with that franchise, from the hours, what you have to do.
Absolutely.
You know, are you a people person or more behind the scenes type of person? That you know, Cal gets all into the details.
They know what questions to ask.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of you know, get a feel. You know, if a lot of people say, you know, I spend more time with my family, and you're going to get into a Dunkin' Donuts, you're in trouble. You know,
right.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of frustration there. So, and there's a lot of great home-based franchise opportunities, such as we've had on the show, Pop Lock. You know, a great one. So, yeah, absolutely. So I just thought we'd bring that to our listeners' attention.
It'd be interesting to see how this list is, like, say, 5 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. And
categories.
That is interesting because there are more categories every single year. I mean, you see that with the growth of franchising.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. That will be interesting. We'll have to have a show on that in 5 years from today. So
maybe one category will be, you know, Internet Franchise Radio.
There you go. Who knows? We'll start it, right?
Yeah.
I know you had an interesting couple of articles over the last several weeks that we just never were able to get to.
A couple of things here, Marty. First, I just want to remind people again that the Franchise Expo South is coming up, one of the largest franchise shows of the year, down at the Miami Beach Convention Center, January 11th to the 13th.
Wow.
So it's one of the big shows. This is the new one they added, the IFE. They have shows on the California, they have the D.C. show, now they have the Miami show.
The Miami one is interesting, I think, Don, because, you know, people from different countries, it's, not to mention it's a great place to go to.
Right.
But I think people from South America actually can, you know, easily fly out to Miami and bring
a
lot of
nice location for a show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
People want more information on it, they can go to FranchiseExpoSouth.com.
Okay.
And here's something from Akron Beacon Journal, just dated December 17th by Paula Schleiss. Franchise freedom, set your own hours as boss, but the cost can be high. It says, Michael Whalen's road to franchise ownership started 3 years ago when he was stuck in a corporate meeting in Arizona.
Hmm.
A well-traveled director of print and document operations for 200 Office Max stores, Whalen took a break to check in on his son's fifth-grade basketball championship game back home in Stowe. As I was listening to the game, I knew it was time to go home, Whalen, a father of two, said. Last year, Whalen, who's 48, opened a Huntington Learning Center in his hometown where his staff offer supplemental instruction in reading, writing, and math to school-age youngsters. He says, I quit my job. I rolled the dice. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, Whalen said. That someone with 20 years of experience in printing would end up owning a children's education company speaks to the diverse world of franchising. With home printers contributing to the decline of professional printing services, Whalen and his wife, Mary Kay, wanted a business in which demand was growing, and franchising in which new business owners get training and support through those first fragile steps offers many more opportunities than fast food chains that might come to mind. Joe LaBaba, president of Franchise Selection Specialists, who we know, had on the show, he coaches prospective franchise owners through their options. His clients come from throughout Northeast Ohio. Service is free. He's paid finder's fee by the franchisors.
Right.
That's what's nice about using franchise consultants. It's really
exactly.
free service, speaking to specialists. The needs of franchises can be very different, he said. Some operate 9 to 5 on weekdays. Others operate round the clock. Owners should also consider how active they want to be. Some franchises fare better with hands-on ownership. Others suit those who plan to be absent a lot. For instance, many new franchise owners are people who lost manufacturing jobs, not folks trained in sales. If someone is more of a behind-the-scenes person, I wouldn't present them with a franchise opportunity that requires they meet a lot of people to do marketing.
Right.
And with about 3,500 franchising businesses, there's a field to suit almost any talent and interest, from pet stores, cleaning services, hair salons, to information technology, fitness, and senior care.
There we go.
But the most important role for any franchise owner is business development, LaBaba said. So this is what, you know, is happening all over the country. People are
right.
just either being downsized or not happy with their job. They want to spend more time with family. They're working too much. And
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if my kid's playing in a championship game, I'm going to want to see my kids grow up a little bit. But I guess he decided
right.
to take a risk with franchise ownership. It's less risk because of the track record and success of that franchise already.
Absolutely.
And he went with it, and you know, I'm sure they're doing fine. So, you know, you like to hear stories like that.
Yeah, and he went with a successful franchise, too, as well. I think you meant, was it Huntington that you mentioned?
Right,
on?
Yeah, they're based here in New Jersey. It's a real nice franchise.
Right, yeah. Interesting. This is a great article. You know, we've heard that story so many times. And, again, you know, franchising gives you that ability to, I hate to, George Native is going to kill me for stealing it, but, you know, start off on third base, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I just thought that was a great analogy. So, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's, we're talking about common answers and themes we've, from our first year on the show. And, you know, I think it's, you know, we've heard it a lot that franchising is hard work.
Right.
It's potentially not going to be easier, maybe harder, but your chance of success is so much better and higher than just starting up a non-franchise business.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Here's something, Marty. Local store here, the Asbury Park Press here in New Jersey.
Hmm.
Area store show chains new face. Bagels aren't biggest part of business now. And I thought this was interesting because I'm familiar with this franchise. It says Manhattan Bagel stretches to live up to its name. You're familiar with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We've been a customer actually when we lived in Jersey. Absolutely.
Franchise had a lot of success. It maybe grew a little too quickly, and then came into some problems. They were based for a while out of Eatontown, New Jersey. I even went to their location a few times.
Right.
Saw how people go through training, and it was nice. They gave me a big bag of bagels.
Did they really?
Each time I went there, my employees just wanted me to keep going back there, just make up any excuse to go
God.
Meet them again.
Oh, that's something.
It says, for one, the chain founded at the Jersey Shore is now owned by Lakewood, Colorado-based Einstein Noah Restaurant Group. For another, although its stores sell almost two dozen varieties of bagels, the business's emphasis is now on offering quick casual service, midway on the restaurant spectrum between fast food restaurants and those eateries offering table service. The stores now sell sandwiches, soups, and salads.
Really?
Yeah, wow. That's a big change from what you and I have been
using. Oh, absolutely.
Some also sell hot specialty drinks, such as espressos, cappuccinos, and frozen smoothies known as chillers. The chain and its franchisees started remodeling its restaurants 2 years ago to emphasize the quick casual concept, starting with the Brick Store. Brick is a town in New Jersey.
Right.
Last year, Manhattan Bagel built its first store centered around the concept in Red Bank, New Jersey. And earlier this month, it opened its third new store in a shopping center in Stafford, New Jersey. We're more than a bagel shop, said Paul Carolyn. Einstein Noah, Senior VP of Franchising and Licensing. Customers' needs have changed, and they have different expectations. Quick casual is one of the fastest-growing restaurant categories. Also, Marty, according to Chicago-based Technomic, a research and consulting firm, quick casual restaurants, which include brands such as Panera Bread, Boston Market, grew by 14.4% from 2005 to 2006, over $12 billion in sales.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. The 2006 fast casual bakery chain restaurant report noted that not only was the market growing quickly, but that future growth prospects remained strong, with growth projected to surpass traditional quick service restaurants.
Wow.
At the Brick New Jersey Manhattan Bagel, the first to offer a quick casual menu, sales mirrored industry growth. According to a statement by the company, in the first quarter of 2005, the location was remodeled to embrace the chain's new look and expanded menu, resulting in a 15% increase in sales. All existing Manhattan Bagel stores have been remodeled to embrace this concept. Manhattan Bagel was started in the Shore in 1987, so the company's not that old.
No, it's not.
Good, solid growth and success early on.
Right.
They went public and ballooned into over 400 stores. An industry that quickly became saturated, pushing the company into bankruptcy.
Yeah, it did. That was at one time, I mean, that industry was just exploding, you know, and everyone wanted to get into a bagel franchise, you know, and that's what happened, you know. So,
and even Dunkin' Donuts started selling bagels, and so I'm sure that cut into their business. Manhattan Bagel was sold in 1998. There's now more than 100 Manhattan Bagel franchises nationwide, so, you know, it looks like they're on the way back up. I thought this was interesting because franchisors at times have problems.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, they're reinventing themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had that story a lot, haven't we, Don? You know, I mean, I think it was one you were talking about last week, not that they're having problems, but was it McDonald's? You know, kind of changing some of their restaurants, you know, to have that old vintage kind of look.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, I thought that was interesting. I know KFC, in the beginning of, was it last year, I think, I mean, they were doing a lot of changes to their restaurants as well. They were putting jukeboxes in there.
Right.
They changed the logo, you know. So at some time during the franchise, there are probably going to be some changes because of changes in the industry, you know?
Well, yeah, people like change, and there's just trends that happen. So whether you're a very successful franchise or one that's struggling, you're going to have to do what, you know, what it takes to, you know, to stay up.
Absolutely.
On the trend.
It's, and again, you're working with some exceptional people, you know. I mean, again, the power of brainstorming, you know. You know, you and I have mentioned on many occasions, is the franchise open to getting ideas from franchisees, you know? Because some of those franchisees have some exceptional ideas, you know, and they know what's going on out in the field, you know. They may have mentioned, like, let's say a Manhattan Bagel franchisee saying, you know what, Dunkin' Donuts is now selling bagels, and the guy across the street at the gas station is selling bagels, you know?
Right.
It's, you know, we better keep our eye open for this, you know? And, no, absolutely. I think it's fantastic. I think change is good, and change is really inevitable, you know? So it's really so important. So I think that's fantastic.
I have something else here, Marty. I can't go over the whole thing. It's pretty lengthy, but it really gives some good practical advice. This is through the IFA, the International Franchise Association, and through the October 07 Franchising World magazine. Tenants don't get the lease they deserve, but the one they negotiate.
Hmm.
And we've had some people on the show talking about lease negotiation, which is, you know, another important part of the process besides doing your due diligence on a franchise and making sure you're making the right decision.
Right.
Possibly going through a consultant, having a franchise attorney. Something else crucial, you know, starting out your new franchise is making sure you have a good lease. And here's just some tips on it. This was by Dale Willerton. It says, it's like a boxing match, punch and jab, punch and jab. It sounds like a night sometimes for my wife. A large number of franchisees and even franchise systems attend leasing seminars. Negotiating a great or even just a good lease or renewal can be challenging for both franchise companies and their franchisees. When it comes to site selection, there is a jungle of real estate choices and opportunities out there that few tenants know how to maneuver. And we'll go over this on a future show in detail, but some of the things that they mentioned here are negotiate to win, create competition for your tenancy, be prepared to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Not happy with the terms?
Right, absolutely.
Ask the right questions.
Yeah.
Brokers, are they friend or foe?
Hmm.
Site selection no-nos.
Right.
Never accept the first offer.
Yeah, just, I mean, you know, I was going to go back to the whole broker thing, Don. You know, I mean, that's important as well. You know, I mean, you and I have had favorable experiences with, you know, the franchise brokers, but yeah, they're not all great. You know, I mean,
well, that says your real estate brokers and their agents typically work for the landlord who's paying their commission.
Exactly.
So they're really on the other side.
You have to ask yourself, who's the client? You know
right.
what I mean? So that's very important, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, never accept the first offer. Ask for more than you.
Hmm.
What else here? Avoid five-year terms. Negotiate the deposit. It's pretty interesting.
There you go, absolutely.
You don't think that aspect of it would be negotiable, but,
right,
but
right.
it is. Measure your space. Of course, you know, make sure you get in the correct space that they're saying that it is.
Okay.
And also educate yourself and get help.
Great.
So this is all about negotiating a lease, and the next show we'll go into more detail about each of these little subsections.
Right.
Very important.
Okay, good, because I think we have about a minute left. Next week I wanted to mention, too, on the show, Don, we're having Scott Sandberg, and Scott's going to talk about what to do if a franchise relationship falls apart. You know, I mean, the great thing about our show is, you know, we talk about all the positive aspects of franchising, but, you know, you do want to address this type of issue as well, you know what I mean? There's good and there's bad, you know, and you do want the full picture.
Right.
You know, and again, it's not always a match, you know. It's again, we've compared it to a marriage, and
right.
you know that marriages don't always work out. So,
yeah, it should be an interesting show. I look forward to that.
Absolutely. So, anyway, so that'll be the show for today. Next week, again, so we'll have Scott on the show, and for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, and we have the new gofranchise.com. And what else, Don?
Well, people looking to get financing help, franchisefunding.net. But, yeah, real excited about gofranchise.com. It's
looks really good. Great website. You can actually hear all the interviews on GoFranchise as well. You know, I've played around with it, you know, and it's really fantastic. So,
Right, Marty, will you have a good rest of
the week?
Have a
great day, Don, and we'll talk next week.
Excellent. Okay,
thanks,
have
Don.
A nice day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.